we do not need to fear death. For death is a conquered enemy. One of the most wonderful psalms is Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One of the most important lessons we glean from that verse is that our divine shepherd is with us not only at the actual moment of death, but also during the process of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Loved one, we never go it alone. Our Lord is with us during life, and He will be with us during the process of dying.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Today, we continue in this rather long series, but I pray it's a blessing to you. The series is called Only a Heartbeat Away, and it's all about the subject of death, heaven, and hell. This is part 10, and today we're going to focus on the fact that there is no need, none whatsoever, to fear death. That is, for the born-again follower of Jesus Christ. No reason to fear death. Now, most people we know have a natural fear of death. Even for those of us who are Christians, death can bring a sense of dread. And that's reflected in the Apostle Paul's affirmation that death is the last enemy to be conquered. He writes about that in 1 Corinthians 15. It's also in Isaiah 25, verse 8. Death is the last enemy. So, as an enemy, death is no respecter of persons. Every human being becomes a target of the so-called grim reaper. The righteous and the wicked, the rich and the poor, men and women, and people of every race, every skin color, people of every nation on earth are targeted. Now, our concern over death, it escalates as we grow older, doesn't it? As we look in the mirror, we see these relentless signs of aging, signs that our bodies are slowly but surely wearing out. And we're all acutely aware that we have no guarantee of living an extremely long life. I mean, some people drop from a heart attack in their 20s. Others in their 80s or 90s. Death could come at any time. So as we examine the pages of the Bible, we find that many people of God who expressed fear of the impending reality of death, and they did fear death. Let me give you Job, for example. He referred to death as the king of terrors. The psalmist lamented in Psalm 55, verse 4, "My heart is anguished within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me." And the psalmist also said this, "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish." That's from Psalm 116, verse 3. And Jesus' own disciples cried out to Jesus in the boat during a severe storm, "Save us, Lord! Save us! We are perishing!" I think about Hezekiah, who was a godly king of Judah. When Isaiah informed him that his death was impending, Hezekiah was grief-stricken, and he wept bitterly. And he poured out his heart to God, and in that particular case, God intervened and extended his life another 15 years. Death has a long history of enslaving people in fear, terror. One of the reasons that Christ came into the world was to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's Hebrews 2:15. And that verse reveals that God does not want those who trust in Christ for salvation to ever fear death. And as we discussed in an earlier podcast, one generation of Christians will escape death altogether. And we're referring to Christians who are alive on earth when the rapture of the church occurs. All other Christians will pass through death's door, though. It may come suddenly, unexpectedly, because of a car wreck, an accident, or a deadly stroke. In other cases, it may approach slowly, and we see it coming, perhaps due to some fatal illness like cancer. If we're honest, most of us would admit that we've thought about what death might be like. Will it be quick? Will the process of dying take a long time? Will pain be involved? Will our loved ones be able to care for us in our final days? Will we need hospice care? Truthfully, many people are more afraid of the process of dying than they are of actual death itself. This dear, wonderful Christian lady, teacher, speaker, Joni Erickson Tada, spoke of this fear of death in her own life. But the good news is, and there is good news, dear one, that we do not need to fear death. For death is a conquered enemy. One of the most wonderful psalms is Psalm 23, where David the shepherd exulted, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." One of the most important lessons we glean from that verse is that our divine shepherd is with us not only at the actual moment of death, but also during the process of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Loved one, we never go it alone. Our Lord is with us during life, and he will be with us during the process of dying. Once the moment actually comes, we will be face to face with him in heaven. Praise God. It's an event to anticipate with joy. As one theologian put it, death is not a terminus, but rather a tunnel that leads to resplendent glory in heaven. And so death for the believer in Jesus Christ involves a wondrous transition, not a final condition. Death marks the beginning of a miraculous, wondrous new life in heaven with Jesus that will last forever and ever. Death is a gateway into eternal life. And once we are there, death will never surface among the redeemed again. Never again. Now recall that Paul the Apostle's words in Philippians 1:23, these are so cool. He said, "My desire is to depart to be with Christ, for that is far better." And Paul was speaking from experience. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4, informs us that during his earthly ministry, Paul had been caught up to paradise. The word paradise literally means garden of pleasure or Garden of Delight. Now, Revelation 2:7 refers to heaven as the paradise of God. Paul said he was caught up into paradise and heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. So apparently, this paradise of God is so glorious, so ineffable, so wondrous that Paul was forbidden to say anything about it to those who still are in the earthly realm. But what Paul saw, it instilled in him an eternal perspective that enabled him to face the trials that lay ahead of him. He not only did not fear death, he could hardly wait for it to happen so that he could get back to the heavenly paradise. As he recalled and pondered how wondrous and glorious heaven was, he could easily say that he desired to depart this life so he could be with Christ in heaven. And no wonder he faced his martyrdom with a cheerful serenity and joy. Paul had no worries. He knew where he was going. He knew in a flash, at the moment of his death, he'd be right back in heaven where he had previously visited. Hallelujah. And moreover, let's not forget the New Testament teaching regarding our body upgrades. Now, in view of our coming resurrection, we ought to view death as a conquered enemy. Here's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Praise God. Because of what Christ accomplished at the cross of Calvary and his subsequent resurrection from the dead, you and I need never be terrorized by death's ever-present threat again. Because Jesus Christ is risen, you and I also will arise. Our destiny, dear one, is heaven. For the Christian, the believer, the follower of Jesus Christ, physical death is a quick step into life. Life. Eternal life. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Amen? He informed his followers that they need not fear his death or their own, for one day they'd be together again in the afterlife, in a place he himself is preparing. Let's read that from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. This is Jesus talking. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. These verses refer to the rapture. The rapture is that glorious event in which the dead in Christ will be resurrected, and the living Christians at that moment will be instantly translated into their resurrection bodies, and both groups will be caught up to meet Christ in the air and taken back to heaven. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 54, and 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17. The rapture is there. Jesus speaks of it plainly. And so, in view of this imminent event, Jesus instructs us, his followers, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Loved one, God will walk with us through the death experience. God will not abandon us in our darkest earthly moment. And he will most certainly give us strength when we have none of our own. He will for sure give us his courage when we feel cowardly. Jesus will certainly bring us comfort when we are hurting. Oh, never forget that we will not be alone in death. And once we pass through death's door, we will never have to pass through it again. Indeed, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. That's Revelation 21:4. The very moment we breathe our last breath on earth, we enter an utterly deathless state. One moment, we might be walking through the dark valley of the shadow of death, only to discover that we are now in the kingdom of light. It's ruled by the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. One moment we might be struggling in a state of weakness and pain and perhaps terminal illness. And the next moment we find ourselves with strength and health in heaven. And in view of such a wondrous future, why should we fear death? Huh? The anticipation of entering heaven is so sweet for those who hold Jesus near and dear to their hearts. Oh, loved one, child of God, listen. Don't fear that you will die, okay? Your Savior has you in his hands in both life and death. Everything is in his loving care. Trust him. Okay? Trust him today. God instructs his people, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's Isaiah 41:10. It's so good to meditate on this and other verses that fuel an eternal perspective in our hearts and lives. Here are some really cool verses from the Bible that I just love, and I pray they're a blessing to you as well. This is 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. This light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension, beyond all comparison, as we look to the things that are seen that are not seen, but we know that the things that are seen are transient or temporary, for the things that are unseen are eternal. Romans 8:18 says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us." Hallelujah. Boy, I love this one too. This might be one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 5:1-2. "We know that if the tent," that's our present mortal body, "we know that if this tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God." It's a resurrection body. "We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." Oh, hallelujah. And Philippians, this is the last one, Philippians 3:20, "Rejoice, for our citizenship is in heaven." Glory to God. Let's pray, dear one. Abba, Father. Oh, we are so thankful that our true discipleship is here on earth, and that this is only a journey that's temporary. But we thank you that our real, true citizenship is not on earth, but in heaven. We're so grateful that we don't have to be dismayed by death. For you, Lord, will be with us every step of the way. We are thankful for the glorious inheritance that awaits us in heaven. And it's marvelous to us. We're just amazed that once we are with you in heaven, great glory will be revealed in us. We also greatly anticipate the resurrection of our bodies. And so in view of such promises, please, Lord, enable us to live without fear of death. We thank you, and we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, dear ones. Well, I want you to know that I have been enjoying this series, and I think we might have two more podcasts left in this current series on Only a Heartbeat Away. And the next time we're going to talk about what happens to little babies, whether in the womb or out of the womb, or little children who die much too early. We're going to talk about that next time on your Place of Grace podcast. So tell your friends about our podcast, and please do, if you would, go to whatever platform in which you listen to us. I listen to Apple Podcasts, for instance. So please go to something like Spotify or iHeart or Apple Podcasts and go to our podcast, Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusis, and go to the bottom of the page and give us a 5-star rating. Please do. If we're a blessing to you, give us that 5-star rating and maybe say a brief word or two about the podcast and how it's blessed your life. And then tell other people about this podcast. Invite them to come and to take part, to listen, to subscribe, to rate, and share with others. We need to reach this world with the good news of Jesus Christ because the days are short until his return. So let's get the word out about this good news of Jesus in these last days. Again, I pray for you guys weekly. Thank you again for listening. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he grant you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may our great God grant you amazing favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusis. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.